Well, good morning, River Valley Church. How are we doing this morning? Good. Okay. Listen, hold up. I'm from kids ministry. My name is Ellie. I'm our kids pastor. And if the kids can do better than that, I think we can give it a little bit more. How are we doing this morning? Yeah. Thank you. Amazing. I'm so glad we're awake. Happy 4th of July weekend. My name is Ellie. I'm the kids pastor here at the Minnetrista campus. And this weekend is what we call our home team weekend, which means that Pastor Dom and myself, we have the opportunity to share a word with the church. So we have a lead pastor who believes in its new communicators, its newer pastors. And so I just need to give honor where honor's due and thank our lead pastors, Pastor Rob and Becca, and our campus pastor, Pastor Dave. Can we just give it up for them? Yeah. I know I'm super thankful for their leadership here at church, and I'm sure you are too. But one thing that we've gotten to do in the last week, every summer we take our kids to kids camp and our teenagers to youth camp. And so I have a picture from kids camp because we just got back this week from kids camp. And so, yeah, I know it's kind of tough to see. I know, they're so cute. It's kind of tough to see their faces, but we had a blast. It was so fun. We had a huge team from our campus go to counsel kids to be junior counselors. So counselors in training, as we call them, and we had a blast. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for sending us to kids camp. I count it a dream job to get to do what I do, and so it's been a blast, and kids camp was awesome. So got slimed. It was awesome. If you want the video, I can show you later, but it was a great week, and we had a blast. But again, I get to share a word with you. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, that's okay. I know how to read. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of context up until this point in the story, because it's a few chapters into the book of Acts. So we're picking it up here. Jesus had come at this point. He had died on the cross. He had risen from the grave, and he had ascended into heaven. And however, we know that that wasn't the end. That wasn't where Jesus left. He didn't leave his people hanging. He sent his Holy Spirit. And it says that the apostles in Acts 2, the apostles and everyone else who was with them, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto all people and that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in a heavenly language. They started speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit was our comforter. He is our comforter. He's our advocate and our guide. And Peter, one of the disciples and the apostles at the time, he stood up and he shared with everyone. He said, hey, this is a fulfilled prophecy. This was supposed to happen. Everything that you're experiencing, this is a fulfilled prophecy from God, and God knows what he's doing. The church began to grow as people came to know God, and the Bible says in Acts 2 that the church prayed together, they broke bread together, they worshiped together, and they helped one another. So the church had the Holy Spirit. They were growing, and God was moving. So now we're going to pick up in Acts 3, verse 1 through 9. And this is going to be, I'm going to read some bigger chunks of the Bible, but stay with me. It's a really, really good story, and it's going to build up to an incredible moment. So it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him, and he said, look at us. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. Peter raised this guy up. And at once his feet and his ankles became strong. So he jumped and started walking, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate at the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had just happened. So to recap what just happened, Peter and John, they found this guy. He needed help. He wanted some money. They didn't have money, but they said, what I got is even better. So they proclaimed healing, they spoke healing over this man, they prayed for him, and he was healed. But what happens next is a little interesting. The priests and the captain of the police and the Sadducees, they didn't like what Peter and John were doing. They didn't like that Peter and John were talking about the people rising from the dead, like a guy, Jesus, being raised from the dead. It didn't make sense. They were confused. They were annoyed. And they didn't like that they were speaking about Jesus. So they took Peter and John into custody and brought them before their rulers, elders, and scribes. And we're going to go back into Acts 4, verse 7. It says, after they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and who God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. Now, this is savage. This is where Peter gets a little sassy. He says, hey, Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders. You once rejected him. Peter's telling them that at one point, you wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus is the stone once rejected by the builders, which has become now our cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. And when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing before them, they had nothing to say in opposition. They had nothing to hold against Peter and John, so they let Peter and John go. And there's so much to unpack in this passage. There's so much to unpack in the book of Acts, and so I would encourage you to go and read it on your own. It's just an amazing book of the Bible filled with testimonies of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. But after this, Peter and John, they went back. They went back to their people to report what happened, and they began praying and shouting to God. And the Bible says in verse 31 that when they prayed, the place that they were assembled in, a place probably that felt close to this, started shaking, and that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking the word of God boldly. Everyone say boldly. Boldly. Amazing. In these services, I love the interaction. I'm a kids pastor, so got to do it. The word bold is mentioned a few times in Acts chapter 4. The Greek word for boldness is parousia. Parousia, and it means to have freedom in speaking and unreservedness in speech. And our definition of boldness is a willingness to take risks, to trailblaze, and to have confidence and courage. And I don't know about you, but there have definitely been times in my life where maybe I was like Valley Fair or Six Flags brave, you know? like I could do like scary things. And I mean, if you go back and ask kids and go kids, hey, are you brave? Without a shadow of a doubt, probably every single one will say yes. They're going to say yes because they can walk up to the sharks at the aquarium and they don't get scared, or they can do tricks on their bike and they don't fall. And I love it. I love the bravery that's instilled in our kids. That's my heart, is to remind them that they're mighty men and women of God. But what's interesting is that when we're kids, bravery and courage and boldness, it's often something that we do. It's tasks that we do. It's things that we can show off. But as Christ followers, boldness needs to be who we are. Bravery needs to be who we are. Courage for Christ needs to be who we are. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I also read my Bible and I read these stories about Peter and John. And I'm like, well, duh, like they would do that thing. They would stand before everyone boldly. That makes sense. They're Peter and John of the Bible. Like they kind of have to do that if they're in the Bible. And I forget, and maybe you do too, that Peter and John, they're normal dudes. They're normal people like us, you know. They were serving in their church. They were relying on the Holy Spirit. The author of Acts, his name is Luke. He writes about one of the apostles, Paul. And at the end of Acts, he talks about Paul and how Paul proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed the kingdom of God with boldness and without hindrance. And it's clear in the Bible, but specifically in the book of Acts, it's clear that boldness is one of the most important trademarks of an apostle. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us in 2022? How do we be bold followers of Jesus, people who are on mission for Christ? And one of the first things I believe that boldness calls us to do is to sometimes do the thing afraid. Yeah. Do the thing afraid. I don't know what that thing is for you. Maybe it's standing up for your faith at work, or explaining to a family member why you come to church every Sunday, or talking to that neighbor that you kind of ignore when you go on a walk or bring your garbage down to the curb. You know, I feel like we all have someone that we need courage, we need bravery, and maybe we're intimidated. The men that Peter and John, that they stood before, those were intimidating people. And there are people in our own lives where maybe you feel a little intimidated. Maybe you feel a little nervous to do the right thing. But I think it's also important for me to mention that Peter and John, they did a bold thing before they said all that in front of the rulers. They did a bold thing by going to that man, by feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit to go to that man at the temple gate and to proclaim healing over him. That bold thing that we each do, that'll look different for each of us. And I know that there have been times where maybe I feel a tug or a nudge from God to do something, and I kind of wish that I had been around to watch Peter and John and how they went about this whole thing, because I wonder who was around, you know? I wonder who was around watching. And I don't know if you've ever had this before, but I'll feel like a nudge to go talk to that person or sit by that person or do the thing that God's asking me to do, and I can literally see or hear the people whispering, what's she doing? What's going on? Oh my gosh, that's really awkward. What if this is awkward? What if she fails? And I kind of wonder if anyone was around Peter and John at that moment, and if Peter and John just had to say, this is worth it. Yeah. This thing is worth it. I'm going to do it afraid. We have to have boldness to pursue the miracle, and we have to have courage to proclaim it afterwards. And we see that Peter was literally served up the question. The rulers asked him, by who, what power, by what have you done this in? How could you have done this? And he was literally served up the question and could answer it perfectly. And I think maybe we have those moments more often than we think. I know I've had those moments before. There was a time in college a couple of years ago where I would go to this coffee shop nearby, and pretty sure I kept them in business from how often I went there. But the guy running it, most days the guy running the coffee shop, I knew that he wasn't a Christ follower, and I was always asking God, like, could you open up the door for me to invite him to church or to share Jesus with him or whatever? And one day I walked in, and we would talk all the time or crack jokes, and he one day says, Ellie, this is so random, but like whenever you walk in here, like I just feel so peaceful. Like when you walk in, it just feels like peace floods the coffee shop, and it just feels so good when you're here. And you know what I said next? Thanks, I'll take a large white mocha, please. I missed it. I totally missed it. I was doing my thing. I missed it. And I remember telling people afterwards, I was like, oh man, it was right there. It was served up perfectly for me to say something, and I missed it. And I've learned from that, luckily, I've learned from that. But we can't miss those moments. We have to ask God, hey, God, unveil my eyes to see when those moments are right there for me. The second thing I believe boldness calls us to do is to rely on the Holy Spirit alone. When Peter and John came up to the man at the gate, he asked them for money. And Peter said, hey, I don't have gold or silver, but what I do have, I'll give to you. And I'm reading that, and I'm kind of thinking, how many times do I stop at what I have when someone asks me for help? How many times do I quick start digging in my pocket, looking in my wallet, giving advice that they probably didn't even ask for? How many times do I stop at the natural? And I think natural and supernatural, they go hand in hand. I love when people give out of a generous heart and they want to see those physical needs met. But how often do we stop at that, at just what we think that person needs? I was challenged going through these passages to be someone who's constantly asking God for supernatural lens, to see things the way that God does. Acts 4 says that rulers could not deny the healing of the beggar. They couldn't pretend like it didn't happen. And I believe that when we see the supernatural, when we take off just our natural lens, the impact it has, other people then start to see things in the supernatural. The people around us start to see the supernatural. Back in high school, there was one day where I was at a Panera doing homework, and I wasn't wearing my headphones or my AirPods, I don't know why, but I was sitting there, and there was two girls sitting in the booth next to me, and one was just sobbing. I don't remember what she was dealing with, but I remember she was sobbing. She was explaining to her friend the situation that she was in, and just crying and crying and crying, and I couldn't help but hear her. And immediately I remember feeling this verse just pop into my mind. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. I looked the verse up just to see what it was. And it was a verse that's helped me a lot in the past. And I remember hearing God very clearly. And he said, I want you to write this down and I want you to go give it to her. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I was in high school. These girls looked like cool college girls. So I was a little intimidated. I didn't want to do that. And I remember just my heart started beating and I just felt again, God saying, hey, just do it. You can do it. Go for it. You got the thing. So I write it down. I suck it up and I go over and I say, hey, I know this is super awkward. You don't know me, but I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian and I read the Bible and there are verses that I believe God's given us to help us get through life, to use as tools. And even if you don't believe that, that's okay, but there's one that's helped me a lot. I want to give it to you. I give it to her. We talked for a while and just kind of went back and forth about what she was going through. And it was incredible. It was a great moment. And it's not one of those moments where I'm like, and here she is in the front row, you know, like that'd be really cool. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if she threw it in the garbage on her way out. I don't know what that meant to her. But what I know for me is that it showed me being bold is worth it. Yeah. You can do it. You can do the thing. I relied on the Holy Spirit and he saw me through. He doesn't leave us hanging. Another thing that I believe that boldness calls us to do is get over ourselves. And you might be wondering what I mean by that, but in Acts 4:13, the rulers observed that Peter and John, they saw that they were untrained and uneducated men and they were amazed. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who comes to a church service or comes to an event like this and I think things like, oh yeah, that brave stuff, that's great for like Pastor Rob to do. Or that bold stuff, I'll leave that for Pastor Leah and Pastor Dom and Molly. Molly's got a great voice. She can do that. I don't need to do that. Me, preach the gospel? No way. Me, lead a sisterhood table? That's scary. Me, serve at youth? Have you met teenagers? Like, you know, we get nervous sometimes. And we leave things for the people we feel are equipped and more trained than us. The word uneducated could also be translated into the word common. Peter and John, they were common. There wasn't anything special about them, but they didn't let their lack of experience hold them back from proclaiming the truth and pursuing what God had asked them to do. You don't have to wait until you're enough to be bold for God and for God to use you. You don't have to wait till you have enough money, till you've lost the weight, till you've found the husband or the wife or have the house. God wants to use you just how you are. He likes to use the messy. I firmly believe God likes to use the messy, the broken, the awkward. God will take you just as you are. Boldness calls us to get over ourselves and it calls us to be glory givers. And what I mean by that is when they asked Peter and John, hey, by what power have you done this thing? Peter and John, they didn't say, let it be known to you that this was all done in the name of Jesus. But actually, like, this really took me a really long time. And I kind of just saw this guy out of the corner of my eye. And I thought, WWJD, what would Jesus do? So went over and, you know, man, it just feels good to be a Jesus follower. Like, hashtag blessed to be a blessing. Like, no, they didn't share it. They didn't feel the need to take the glory for themselves. They said, it's all Jesus. It's always been Jesus. The healing that happened right here, it's because of Jesus. In order to get over ourselves, and I think this is a thing we learn every day, at least I do, in order to get over ourselves, that means we give every ounce of glory back to God. Peter and John had to let go of their own reputation to proclaim the reputation and the name of Jesus Christ. And in a time where every opinion and every voice feels super loud, especially right now, we need to be people that are constantly lifting up the name and voice of Jesus. The fourth thing that I believe that boldness calls us to do is to be with Jesus. If you want to be known as someone who is bold, spend time with Jesus. And we see in Acts that the rulers saw that Peter and John had been with Jesus. That's why all of this happened. They said, hey, there's something really similar here. We see a similarity between these guys and Jesus. And as I was reading this, I kind of thought, and we talked about it a little bit at our River Valley conference a few weeks ago, but I thought, how often does someone in my life compare me to Jesus? You know, like how often do we have friends who say, hey, you know, my friend Ellie, she reminds me a lot about Jesus. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that these rulers saw Peter and John and they couldn't deny the miracle and they couldn't deny that these guys had spent time with Jesus. And it's really easy to read this passage and kind of think like, well, that's easy for Peter and John because they actually got to spend time with Jesus. They actually were with him. But what's really cool is that Paul addresses the church in Ephesus. He says in Ephesians 21, that they had heard Jesus. They had heard Jesus. In the Greek text, it says, it doesn't have the word of, and I think we might have the verse. If not, that's okay. It says that they have heard of Jesus, and that's actually not what the Greek text says at all. In our translation, when people went to go translate the Bible, they put the word of in there, so that we could understand what the point was a little bit better. But really, the Ephesians, they hadn't been with Jesus, so what does Paul say here? He's saying, hey, you've heard the gospel, you've heard the good news, you may not have actually heard Jesus directly, but you've read his word, you've heard his word, so you've been with Jesus. When we've read God's word, when we've spent time in God's word, it's like we're directly hearing from God, we are with him. And we all know the people who are important to us. If someone's important to us, we know them. We know our friends, we know our family, and we also take on traits and qualities of the people that we hang out with. And again, the rulers, they saw the similarity between Jesus. They saw, hey, these guys, Peter and John, they had spent time with Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. God's not a far-off God. When you come in here, to worship and to receive and to engage with your friends and our community here, just know, like, God's not a far-off God. This isn't a type of thing. Your time with the Lord at home, your time here, isn't something that you need to creep into and be a little nervous. No, like, we can go after the Lord with confidence, and we can approach him with confidence. Like I said, Paul's one of the best examples we have of someone who was bold for Christ. He knew how to fight for people. He really did. He knew how to fight for people, for their lives, for their souls, for their salvation. He's someone that we can learn a lot from. But really quick, John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came so that we might have life abundantly. I kept reading, and I'm like, okay, what is Paul? What is he give us so that we can fight against this stealing, killing, and destroying? Like, there's got to be something. There's got to be a way to fight against this, to be bold for Jesus. And I believe that Paul gives us the perfect thing. He gives us the armor of God. And so I actually have my pal Judah from Go Kids. Judah, can you come on up, buddy? I have Judah. Yeah, let's give it up for Judah. He's awesome. Okay, Judah, we just got to go to kids camp together. We had a blast, right? It was fun. You cheered me on when I got slimed. It was great. But I have some pieces of armor because would I be a kids pastor if I didn't have a visual aid? I'm also just a visual learner, so I really enjoy a good visual aid. But if you've been in church for a while, we actually in Go Kids, we just went through the armor of God. We went through a whole series this past month on the armor of God. And if you've been around in church for a while, you might have heard about the armor of God. But I also think sometimes it's easy for the armor of God to be left as a nursery rhyme for when you're a kid. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've sang the songs that we have. It's not just for kids. It's for us. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you might be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. It doesn't say young children put on the armor of God. It doesn't say anyone under the age of 18 put on the armor of God. It says put on the armor of God. So I've got some armor up here that Judah's going to wear for me. So first, Judah, I'm going to put this back here for a second. First, we got this. This is the breastplate of righteousness. Go ahead and put it on, buddy. That's the breastplate of righteousness. It's to say, hey, when you've said yes to Jesus, first of all, you're a child of God no matter what, but when you've said yes to Jesus, you are taking on righteousness. You are taking on a new identity. Righteousness is going to protect you. We got these things. We don't got shoes, but we got these kind of symbols of shoes, the shoes of peace of the gospel. So Judah, you can go ahead, slip those on. Those are to say, hey, when you're walking through life, you aren't walking on your own. You're walking in the peace that the gospel gives you. You're walking in the peace that Jesus gives you. You don't have to do things on your own. You don't have to try to muster up the courage. You've got peace. Good job. We did this every week, and it was always fun to have kids seeing visually, hey, this is who we are. Because all of this, like, this is our identity. The different things that we're putting on, these things are our identity. Ephesians goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what our fight is against. So he's got the breastplate of righteousness. He's got the shoes of peace. Next thing we're going to put on is the belt of truth. Good job. The belt of truth. And that means, hey, everything keeping me together, everything that's gonna carry me through, I'm basing my life off of truth. I'm basing my life, truth is holding me together. I'm gonna live my life off of truth. And here we've also got the helmet of salvation. Protect your head. Good job, Judah. Put that on. Looking good. But he's got the helmet of salvation, and that's saying, this is who I am. I am known by someone who follows Jesus. Salvation is going to protect me. My identity in Christ is going to protect me. We've got the shield of faith. Go ahead. Good job. Shield of faith. I love that one. And then hold on to this one. We'll get back to that in just a second. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is to protect you from the flames and the arrows of the evil one. And then take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Again, we'll come back to that guy in a sec. But The shield of faith, that's to protect you when things come, when trials come, when attacks come. It's to protect you. You get to pray on behalf of yourself. You get to say, God, I need you. God, protect me. If something's coming at you, if something's coming out right here, you put that right up there. Yeah. Pastor Dom, can you come up here for a sec? He doesn't know he's doing this. Okay, Judah, you stand over here. Pastor Dom, you come stand on his other side. Okay, if these guys are in battle, if they're fighting an enemy, if they're fighting an enemy and something starts to come at Dom and Dom has zero armor on, he is exposed. There is nothing there. And Judah's over here and he's got all this. Judah, what would you do if Pastor Dom's over here and something's coming at him right here? You put that up. Yeah. Judah, what if something keeps coming at him? What if it keeps coming? What if your arm gets tired? Do you keep it up? Yes, because something's coming at your friend, right? Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Pastor Dom. Let's give it up for Pastor Dom. Not only is the armor of God for us, but the armor of God, we can't have necessarily a person's faith for them, but we can have faith for our friends. We can say, hey, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to stand in the gap to have faith for my friend. I'm going to hold up my shield of faith. Good job, Judah. I'm going to hold up my shield of faith because attacks are coming and I need to protect my friends. I believe in a God and a Holy Spirit that's going to protect me, protect my people. Last week, we wrapped up our series in Go Kids on the armor of God, and we talked about the sword of the Spirit. You want to hold it on up for everyone? We talked about the sword of the Spirit, and I started saying, okay, guys, we're in our last piece of armor. You know, this is awesome. What's our last piece of armor? And a kid, Jensen, he's awesome. He raises his hand. He goes, Pastor Ellie, like, it's the sword of the Spirit. But, like, just so you know, it's not just an armor. It's a weapon. I was like, okay. It's a weapon. The sword of the Spirit. That's our ability of it's us knowing the word of God. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the word of God as a weapon. We have the word of God to defend ourselves, but also to fight. And there are tons of times where maybe my fight isn't, I'm not ready to fight. Or I feel like, man, I don't know. I don't have the advice. I don't have the right thing to say. I'm not educated. I'm not trained. I'm not as cool as this other person. That doesn't matter because we got the sword of the Spirit. We got the sword of the word of God. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we know all the verses. Like when I felt prompted to go give that verse to the girl at the restaurant, I didn't have that verse memorized. I quick felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, looked it up, wrote it down. That's okay. It's having that reliance on the Lord, on the word of God, being ready and equipped. Yeah, Judah's already practicing his sword drills, but this is it. Like this armor, it's fun to dress up as a knight, but this stuff is what the Bible talks about, and it's not just for kids, it's for us. We could give it up for Judah. Judah, you can go on and take a seat. Good job, buddy. Good job. But like I said, that is all for us to fight. Yes, it's for us to defend ourselves and to be bold and to be brave for God, but it's really for us to fight. And I'm actually going to ask all of us to stand right now. And prayer teams, if you're in here, you can come on down to the front. We got some people who are willing to pray, who want to pray. These people are armored up. They come armored up, ready to pray, ready to intercede for you. And I believe there are people in here where maybe you're thinking, I feel like I've lost my fight. I feel like I've lost my will to fight, my urge to fight, the passion to fight. There might be something that you're walking through, whether that's something with your marriage. Maybe you're praying for a child to come home that's maybe strayed away. Maybe you're praying for a child, period. Maybe you're praying for a friend, a family member. I don't know what that thing is for you, what that fight is. But I believe that there are people in here, maybe some of you who you feel like, I need to put on the armor of God. And I just want you to know, you have every permission to pick up your armor. You have every permission, every authority to pick up your armor, pick up your sword of the Spirit and fight. And sometimes it's really easy to not want to do it, to not want to fight if we're fighting alone. And so we have prayer teams up here that are willing to pray with you. I'll pop down and I'm willing to pray with you. But if you feel like, hey, I've got something in my heart, God is stirring in me, there's something happening right now where I need to fight. I need to fight for something. I would encourage you, be bold. Be bold. Come up for prayer. Ask for prayer. Explain the thing or don't. You don't even have to tell us. You can just say, I need prayer. But do the thing. It's worth it. And someone in here needs to know you're worth it. You're worth it to fight for. The thing that you're struggling with, the thing that you're walking through, you might think it sounds small to other people. It's not small to God. He wants to know. He wants to hear. So if you need boldness, I'm going to pray. Our worship team's going to play. You can feel free to come on up and get prayer. But if you're not coming up to get prayer, I would encourage you, sing these words out with everything you have in you, because these words, that's our victory. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, that you are not a far-off God. God, that you care about us so much that you would send your Son to die for us and your Holy Spirit to be with us, to intercede, to be our advocate. God, I pray that we would take up our armor of God, that we would put it on every single day, God, that we would fight with the sword of the Spirit, God, that we would be quick to know your word, to want to spend time with you. God, let us be people where when others look at us, they see that person has spent time with Jesus. God, I pray for every person in this room, every person on this stage, God, every kid back in Go Kids, Lord, that we would be filled with boldness to go out, God, to go out into the world. Put us on mission, God. Remind us of who you are and of who we are. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.